Good morning, everyone. Today is the 5th of February, 2019, Tuesday morning. I hope you're having a good morning this morning. And I would ask that you would remember my son in prayer this morning. He's not having a good morning. It's not been one of his better days. Well, we're going to read from this daily life, some compilation of the King James Version of the Bible. And we read, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, John 10:10. What were Adam and Eve told in the Garden of Eden? In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Genesis 2:17 and Genesis 3:6. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ, Romans 5:17. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Our Savior Jesus Christ hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Good morning, Rabbi Moses Mavaz. Welcome aboard. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath life and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world that it might be saved. 1 John 5:11 and 12 and John 3:17. One of the principal doctrines of the Bible is the doctrine of original sin through Adam, which brought spiritual death to all mankind. And for God's people, life was brought to them through one, the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Many have denied the doctrine of original sin and have replaced it with something they call free will. They don't want to be accounted as spiritually dead. They want to believe that they have been retained their original, the way they were originally created, which was in the image of God. They want to believe that nothing happened in the fall to them. I had one minister tell me, there's no way I'm going to be responsible for Adam's sin. Well, you're not only responsible for Adam's sin, but you're responsible for your own actual sin. But we all fell in Adam. And when you deny the original sin, you're denying the Word of God. And also, of course, when they deny original sin, they also deny unconditional election. They cannot stand the fact that God predestinated some unto honor and others He cause them to be vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. They cannot uphold that scripture because it doesn't appeal to their flesh. And of course, they want to try to say that God's salvation is made available for all men. What Jesus taught, a doctrine of particular redemption, when he said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. All that the Father hath given me will come to me." Jesus Christ taught particular redemption. He told the Pharisees, "The reason that you do not believe on me is because you are not my children. You're of your father the devil." Believing on Jesus Christ does not make us one of his children. Okay. Because we are one of his children is why we believe upon him. Good morning, Dennis Higgins. Welcome aboard. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. So our belief, our faith, our repentance, our conversion, our acceptance of Christ all comes as a result of the new birth. The quickening power of the Holy Spirit causes us to believe, to repent, to turn to Christ, and turn from sin. For God's people, we will not ultimately resist his grace because his Holy Spirit draws us to himself. Scripture says that we must be drawn. Christ said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Irresistible grace. God's elect, his people, his blood-bought people, will not ultimately fall from grace. It's impossible. It's an impossibility. Jesus Christ says, "I give unto them eternal life," not temporary life. "I give unto them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So, those are some very important distinctions between biblical truth and those who promote another doctrine, a doctrine that does not really save, it just makes it possible for people to be saved, a doctrine that denies the original sin, a doctrine that denies unconditional election, a doctrine that denies irresistible grace, and denies that we will persevere in our faith. Looking back in history, we see events unfold. And the greatest story in history is the greatest story ever told. It's not just a novel. No, this story is true, how God sent his Son to die to redeem his chosen few. Praise and thanksgiving we give to the Son, who in the courts of heaven with the three in one made provision for this sinner. Through his blood the work is done. The plan was determined between the Trinity, and the greatest story in history would be a certainty. God would redeem his people, a ransom he would pay. Christ would be slain on Calvary in history on that day. You see, Scripture tells us that he was slain in eternity before the world began. It was predetermined. It was his master plan. Well, I'm glad that we can rely upon the completed work of Jesus Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ. We don't have to rely upon our own works. We don't have to rely upon our abilities, our faithfulness. You know, we rely upon the completed work of Christ and the faith of Christ, not our own faith, the faith of Christ, which has been imputed to us. He did not impute our trespasses to us. He imputed to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So what we believe is very important. Do we believe the Bible, or do we believe the doctrines of men? Do we believe that Jesus Christ actually did finish the work on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary like he said he did when he hung there? Or we believe that we have a hand in our salvation? No, I'm not an antinomian. No, I'm not denying that grace causes us to live in obedience to God's word. That is part of grace. But our works have nothing to do with our salvation. Our salvation was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was a gift of salvation. The Bible is not just another book. It is God-breathed, the living word of God. In it can be found the words of eternal life. Whether we believe it or not is the question at hand. The Bible says we are born and conceived in sin, and that all men died in Adam, and all who are made alive in Christ. The Bible does not say that faith, belief, or repentance saves you, but it does say that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And it does say that all that the Father hath given him will come to him, and that all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. The Bible says the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Christ also said you must be born again. So the Bible says the first thing that must happen to a sinner is that he must be born again, and then he receives the faith to believe that Christ died for his sins, and then he will readily confess that he's a sinner in need of Jesus as his Savior. Good morning, Refrandra. He will then trust in the completed work of Jesus Christ for him on Calvary as the perfect sacrifice for his sins. Good morning, my friend Rick Batorik. Welcome aboard this morning, brother. When this happens, the sinner becomes a new creature in Christ. He is no longer under the condemnation, and he has received forgiveness on the merits of God's gift to him. And he now realizes that he was foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. That's good news. That's good news. That's the gospel. Well, there are many that don't believe that gospel. But for us who have been given new life, new birth, we rejoice in this wonderful news. Good morning, Thampa Vavania. I'm thankful for what Christ did. What awesome, wonderful, magnificent grace God has bestowed upon us. who were dead in our trespasses and sin, to choose us before creation of the world, before our life would even begin, to be adopted into his family and from the beginning to the very end. How can our tongues describe this marvelous thing he did for you and me? To send his son to die and redeem us for eternity. By shedding his precious blood on the cruel and rugged tree and paid the greatest ransom possible to set our souls free. Amazing grace, amazing love, so merciful to you and me, who deserve to die an eternal death and experience awful suffering in hell, but God gave his only son. And now we sing thanks to Calvary, and with our soul all things are well. A million years from now, we will still be praising him for delivering us from death and the bondage of sin. All glory to the Lamb who bled and died for you and me. Our praises will ring out for all eternity. We should never tire proclaiming the good news of God's grace to his people. That should be our theme for the rest of our life. The fact that God's people have been given the faith of Christ. There's no greater gift we could have been given to know that he's died for us and secured for us a place in heaven. That his death gave us the imputed righteousness of Christ, this was his ultimate sacrifice. God the Father looks upon it and says, it is finished. It never has to be replenished. Well, I hope that this encourages you this morning to realize that God has done all things well. We don't have to look anywhere else other than to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. Many say they give God the glory in all things, but the deceitfully use free will as their cover. Good morning, Jack Stover. Welcome aboard. And place man on the throne. They want to take the credit for whom salvation is due. All credit goes to Christ. He said it is finished too. When you stand before Christ, what are you going to say? Jesus, are you not glad I chose you on that day? No, all glory and honor goes to the Son. He will not share this glory with anyone. Amen. Well, Christ's bleeding hands and feet are proof that God the Father's demands were met. Foreordained before creation, God's decree was already set. Before you and I were ever born, he was slain, you see. His bleeding wounds in hands and feet were a crucial part of this decree. God's justice was met through Christ on Calvary for such a wretched sinner, and that sinner was me. Thank you, Lord, for suffering in my stead to raise me to new life from the dead. Well, let the gospel be proclaimed far and wide. Jesus came, and for sinners he did die. His Father gave them to the Son. It is finished, he cried. The work is done. Never again must a sacrifice be made. Christ was 3 days in the ground, but rose up from that grave. Yes, he died, was buried, and rose for his people to save. They are no longer under the curse of sin, for the Holy Spirit has caused them to be born again. And when we falter and succumb to sin, Christ, our mediator, forgives us again. Thanks for saving us by your grace. Well, I'm going to end by reading one final thing this morning. O sacred head now wounded. with a crown of thorns, the mockery and ridicule. He heard all their scorns. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, they cried. But my Savior laid his head on his shoulder, saying, it is finished, and then died. To save this wretched sinner, to purchase in my stead, to suffer the wrath of his Father when I deserved it instead. Thank you, Lord, for taking all this grief and pain and giving me salvation. All glory to the Lamb. May the Lord be with you in a special way today, is my prayer. God bless.